Here because this morning we are starting a new series called Radiant, and I just wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever wondered how people experience you? Like if they looked at your life or they were kind of let behind the veil, what they would think? What would they say? You know, would they notice anything different about your life if they compared your life to theirs? You know, their type of relationships that you have, the quality of relationships, or how you manage your finances, or how you manage your home, or the relationship you have with your kids. Would there be any differences? Would they be able to tell anything different? Well, we've had a lot of people stay in our home, and I've had kind of a unique opportunity to hear some of that feedback, some of it challenging. You know, some of it going, wow, there's areas that I need to grow. And some of it really encouraging. People saying, hey, you know what? I love the way that you interact with your kids. And, you know, I want to imitate that in my life. Or, you know, I love the way that you, you know, make sure to have a weekly date night. Like, that's so valuable. I love that you do that. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, we read this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." As followers of Christ, our lives should look different, right? We should reflect the glory of God in such a way that in our families, in our finances, in our relationships, our lives are radiant, right? Radiant with God's glory. And we see throughout Scripture that this word radiant is used in a couple different ways. In Exodus, we see when Moses was meeting with God and he was getting the Ten Commandments from God, he came down off the mountain and his face was radiant with God's glory. It literally was glowing, so much so that the Israelites were scared. The glory of God was reflected from him. But we also see radiant life that's visible to other people. The idea of radiant is that we reflect something greater. And now in the new covenant, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4, we know that the new covenant is far more glorious than the covenant that God gave to Moses. And that as followers of Christ, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit within us, which is far more than, like Moses, going to be in the presence of God. Now God lives in me. So how much more radiant should our lives be? And if we're walking with the Spirit, I believe that people should be able to see that, right? There should be a difference when you look at my life. You should be able to look at my life and go, yeah, there is something different. I see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. There's an impact. But sometimes, though, we face challenges, don't we? Right? Sometimes, if you looked at my life, you might go, wow, that wasn't really Spirit-filled there, the way you responded to that situation. Not exactly being super patient, are you? Or that was kind of passive-aggressive, sharp remark. There are moments, right? There are absolutely moments where I am not walking with the Spirit. And that I'm missing that radiance. You know, maybe you feel the same way sometimes. Maybe you're in a place where you're just kind of reacting to life. Have you ever felt like that? Like life is happening around you and you don't have time to prepare for it. It's just happening. And you're like, I gotta try to respond to all the things that are going on in my life. Or maybe you're so busy juggling all these things. You're like, I don't have time to think about what other people think about my life. I'm just trying to like survive. I'm treading water. I'm trying to make it through. Or maybe it's depression. You know, maybe that's something that you're like, I don't know if I have the energy. I just feel tired. I don't know if I could offer anybody any sort of light because right now I'm wrestling myself. Or how about parenting? I love it. I don't know if you can read it. It says, siblings are the people we practice on, the people who teach us about fairness and cooperation and kindness and caring, quite often the hard way. Right? Maybe it feels like your kids are so out of control that you're like, I'm too busy worrying with what's going on in my home life. You know, I don't have any, you know, I'm not really like crushing this parenting thing. So I don't really want to invite anyone else in my home to see what life looks like. Or maybe it's that your marriage is struggling. Maybe that's where things feel difficult or weighty for you. Or what about doubts? You know, have you ever had questions about God? Questions about, you know, where you're at, and maybe God feels distant, right? I think we've all had moments where all these things are happening, and it leaves us with this question, like, why? Right? If the Holy Spirit's in my life, and I'm supposed to live this radiant life, why is there this wrestle? What's going on in us that's the case? Well, if we go back to Matthew 5, 14 through 16, I don't know that I put it up there. Oh, I did. Here we go. So first I want to look at John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the heart of Jesus. He's come that we would have this radiant and abundant life. That's his purpose. But you notice at the beginning of that, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Right? The reality is we live in a world at war. And we have an enemy that is constantly trying to distract us or put barriers in the way or cause us to hide that light or dim that light or deflect it or focus it on other things, constantly trying to get people to look away from the glory of God that we were meant to be reflecting. And so if we go back and we look at Matthew 14 through 16, which looks like it's off the page, so here I'll go ahead and read it to you. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." This line right here, "Let your light shine before others." We can see that Jesus says that we're the light of the world, right? He says, let our light shine before others. Others should be able to see the glory of God in us, right? We should be shining that to other people. But it also says, let, right? It says, let your light shine. And then it talks about how it shouldn't be something that we hide under a basket. It should be something that everyone can see. But I think sometimes we don't let it. Right? Sometimes we get distracted or we're busy or we have these other things that are going on in our lives that impact how well we are walking in the Spirit, right? We get distracted in that. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 is a passage I want to look at. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 5. And I want to look at this passage. I'll go ahead and read through. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you, God, just for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for your Spirit in us. Lord, giving us the ability to reflect your glory. And so, Jesus, we worship you this morning. God, would you speak through your word to us? We say yes to what you want to do in our hearts today. We say yes to what you want, the ways that you want us to grow to reflect your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to propose to you something, and I'll elaborate some more, but I want to propose this idea that the seeds you plant grow. The seeds you plant grow. And what I mean by that is if we look back at this passage in Ephesians, we see this. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." That's the fruit of the light. When we are sowing seeds in the light, that's the fruit of it, right? We know what the fruit of the Spirit is. When I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm sowing seeds in the Spirit, right? I'm sowing seeds, and those are the things that would be visible. But we also see throughout this passage some ways that the enemy gets involved, some ways that our light can be impacted. And I want to point out a couple of those to you. These are some ways that our light gets hidden. First, the passage talks about the fruitless deeds. This is verse 11. It says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." So I think the first thing that we do is we get involved in fruitless deeds. That's something that we get involved with, and it specifically says, it's shameful to mention even what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. So I think the first way is sin, right? When we allow sin to come into our lives, when we're doing something, where we're walking actively in sin, we are in a place where we're grieving the Holy Spirit, and that's impacting the way that we reflect God's glory, the way that our lives are radiant. The other one this passage says is missed opportunities. It says, make the most, be very careful then how you live. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because days are evil. I think of the times where I have opportunities to share God's glory. You know, as that passage says in Matthew, let your light shine before others. And there's lots of opportunities I have to do that. But sometimes I'm just selfish. You know, sometimes it's like, well, you know, I could go out and I could love my neighbor and help them with that deck that they've been trying to complete for 6 months that I've been watching them, you know, like try to work on for 6 months. I could totally go out and help them, but I don't know. I just want to hang out. I'm not going to do that. That's a missed opportunity, Next, it says, living foolishly. This is a way that we highlight. It says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Not living foolishly in verse 17. Right, there are lots of ways in our life that, there are lots of things that go on in our life that aren't outright sin, right? It's not necessarily a right and wrong, but it's unwise, it's foolish. There are lots of things that I do that aren't necessarily just outright bad, but they're not good either. The fruit of them isn't moving me towards God or radiating his glory, but it's not really helping either, right? And we all have these things in our lives. You know, we refer to them sometimes even as like escapes or time wasters, right? You know, is it wrong to, you know, watch four like consecutive episodes or binge watch something on Netflix? Maybe not outright. Is it foolish? Yeah, totally. Is it foolish to stay up really late and have that impact my family when I'm cranky the next day? Is it foolish to go without food and get hangry? Yes. Those are dumb things that we all do. They're foolish. And that impacts how we reflect our light to others. And the last is seeking other sources. Sources other than the Holy Spirit. When we go to those for life, other than going to the Holy Spirit, and it's so easy to do it. It's so easy to go, man, I'm so exhausted from this day that I did, I just want to escape. That doesn't bring life. It just delays the problem. And it's easy to do that. And I think in Ephesians 5, Paul's trying to point out, no, like we need to invest, we need to sow seeds in the Spirit, in areas that will produce life. And so, how are we doing? Honestly, I think, is there some unrepentant sin in your life, something that's hidden? Or are there missed opportunities? Or maybe you're not living an outright sin, but are there some areas of foolishness in your life? Or are you seeking sources of life other than the Holy Spirit? And I think the challenging part of these questions, I think if we're all honest, we can examine our life and go, yeah, there's totally, I can answer yes to at least one of those. But the problem is, we look at that passage and we go, okay, yeah, we all agree we're supposed to have radiant lives. And I look at these things and Paul says, hey, like if you want to have a radiant life, if you want to reflect the light of God, then don't do these things. And then we all go, well, yeah, but I can see some areas that my life is being impacted by those things. But then it's not really fair for us to stand back and go, man, why doesn't it feel abundant? Why doesn't my life feel like that John 10:10 promise, this abundant life or this radiant life? Well, I think the challenge is that we're spending a lot of time sowing seeds in areas of our life that aren't sowing life, right? We're investing a lot of time not in sowing in the Spirit. And I think this is important because the problem is we're living in a world where God has established some laws, some basic laws. I'm not talking about like the Ten Commandment laws. I'm talking about just laws of nature. God created this world with some laws. One of those laws, for example, is the law of gravity, right? We know it exists. God established that. Even the secular world would say gravity exists. If I fell off this on my face, I'm going to hurt myself. That's a law. We all know that's going to happen, all right? Another law that God has made and established in this world is this law, as the Bible calls it, of sowing and reaping. So we see in Galatians, this is 6:7-9, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And that's where we get this idea that the seeds we plant will grow, right? It's the law of cause and effect. The scientific community knows that exists. When you do certain things, there's going to be an impact. But I think sometimes in our personal lives, we don't like that, right? We don't like this idea that there's always an impact to every choice that I make. I don't like that. I don't want there to always be an impact every choice I make, because if I examine my life, I go, wow, there's some areas where I made some dumb decisions and I don't want to reap the consequence of my dumb decisions. You know, and what's interesting about this law of sowing and reaping is that there are ways and there are times where we can, that cause and effect can be interrupted, right? It can't be stopped, but it can be interrupted. And what I mean by that is, say I do something foolish, right? And there's going to be a consequence to it, and then somebody steps in and takes that consequence for me. Okay, say for example, many of you have children. Say you have this, this child who's trying to figure out how to do life, right? They're growing up, they have a job, they're starting to take on some responsibility, pay some bills, pay for their car and whatever. And they decide that now that they have their car, you've said, okay, you have a car, I want you to cover your own insurance. And they decide to not get insurance at all. That's their decision. And you're like, okay, you need to get insurance. And you communicate to them like this, no, this needs to happen. And they decide not to do it. They get into a car accident. Right? What's the consequence of that? We all know what the consequence is, right? Number one, it's illegal. Number two, there's lots of impacts, right? If they hurt someone else, they hurt themselves. But let's say the impact is minimal in that just their car is destroyed. And now you come in and you pay for the car, right? The consequence is still there. The seed of foolishness they sowed, not getting insurance, has now reaped a broken and destroyed car. But you have jumped in and intervened. And now they don't reap the consequence of the foolishness they've sown. You do, which is kind of you, right? But it's still there. The reality is that law still exists. The seeds that we sow, the seeds that we plant, will grow. So if we look back at the ways that we hide the light, we can look at what kind of seeds are we planting. Right, what kind of seeds are we planting? If we know these seeds are the ones that lead to, right, the enemy kind of hiding the light, moving us away from abundance and radiant life, and then what kind of seeds are we sowing? Nicole and I, we have some, I've shared with you, we have some friends coming to live with us, a family of five that's coming. And last night, we were up late moving all these rooms around. We swapped three different rooms, and we were cleaning up and doing all the stuff. And we had this kind of really funny moment. Johnny is a young man that lives with us, and we told him, hey, this weekend, we're going to be moving your room around and swapping some stuff. Like, could you clean up your room and have things ready so that we can just move this stuff around? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. He didn't do that. So we are running out of time. Like, our friends are coming in like a couple weeks. We need to move some things. And so we told him, hey, like, we want your help, you know, but we're going to start moving some stuff around. So Nicole and I, we start and we're cleaning up all these rooms, and we go in, we're cleaning out his room and his stuff and trying to keep it as organized as possible, you know, not that there was any clear organization system going on in that room, but I'm like, is this garbage? I don't know. I'll put it in the maybe pile, you know? As we're going through, it was probably like, we had to start, unfortunately, after our kids went to bed. We let them camp out on the floor in the other empty room. They were so excited. And so as we're moving, Johnny comes home, and it's probably like 10:30, and he just came back from a wedding. He's all like dressed up, you know, looking nice, but just looks exhausted. You know, like he walks in the door, and I can just see, like, he's like, man, I just want to go to bed so bad. And he comes upstairs, and like, literally, there's no place to sleep. There's no room. Like, we're right in the middle of the project. The house is just destroyed. And I'm kind of like, I love you, man. You know, like, sorry that you don't have a bed or a room. You will shortly. We're working on it. This process may have been sped up if you helped us a little bit. But it's going to happen, you know. And so we eventually did get his room put together. He fell asleep on the couch, and I guess that was okay with him. But one of the things that we've noticed, Nicole and I, is that I really want abundant life. I really want radiant life. I want people to see the impact of the Holy Spirit in my life. Those are all things that are really true about me. But when I examine my life, I can look at a lot of different ways where I'm sowing seeds in foolishness. And what I mean by that, one really specific way, and the funny part, I was laughing about this with Nicole yesterday, because one thing I'm like, you know, Nicole, an area that we need to grow as I'm like preparing for this, we need to be better at like going to bed earlier. We're like one of those families that totally is like a late family. And I know many of you maybe are morning people, that's why you're here at First Service. I'm actually totally not, all right? I wake up, the earliest I wake up is on Sunday. Every other day, I don't wake up that early. I'm totally not a morning person. But thank you. But the reality is, like, I get to this point after, you know, a whole day of work and spending time with my kids, and after completing the bedtime routine with four small children, like, my response is, whew, crushed it. This day is over. Now it's time for me. You know, like, I'm going to spend some time with my wife. We're going to hang out. And then I look at the clock. I'm like, it's midnight. How did this happen again? How did we get here? And I'm like, tomorrow the kids are going to wake up at the same time they always wake up. And there's nothing I can do to slow that process. Believe me, I've tried, right? Nicole and I, we've even like put little bags of Cheerios like outside their door. And we're like, maybe this will buy us 15 minutes, you know? But if I examine my life, I go, wow, we're totally sowing these seeds of foolishness. But last night, we didn't finish the project till 1 a.m. And here I am. Right? I can't get it through my head. I know that there is this law of sowing and reaping, right? And I'm reaping the impact of it. Now I've got to be here and preach to you and try not to sound like an idiot when I stayed up till 1 last night and woke up at 7 this morning. You know, the reality is, right, I know there's an impact in my life, but there's still this foolishness. You know, what kind of seeds are we sowing? And it impacts how radiant our lives are. I went shopping with my boys. And Hero's my oldest, he's 7. And I was shopping with them, and Hero, like, of course, they want to be all over the cart and hanging on everything. And Hero was like, hey, Dad, I want to be under the cart. Like, I want to lay on the bottom part. And I'm like, all right, sure, you know. He's a boy, and I'm like, I remember doing that. And so immediately, I like flash back to when I was probably his age, and I went, when I was that kid, here's what I did. The wheel's spinning, I stuck my finger in there, right? And I totally cut my finger, and it really hurt. like really bad. And all it took was that one time, right? I sowed the foolishness of my action and I reaped the consequences. And I was like, I'm not doing that again. That doesn't feel good. So I say to my son, who is very much like me when I was that young, I say, hey, it's cool if you're down there. I'm just going to give you a little heads up. Don't stick your hand in the wheel that spins because it will hurt. Guess how long it took. I mean, like, not even 30 seconds after I said, maybe I gave him the idea and maybe that was the problem, but I feel like it was bound to happen. And so I feel terrible though, because I'm cruising along 30 seconds later, and he's crying and he cut his finger. And of course it didn't feel good. And he's sitting there and he's crying and I'm giving him this hug. And I'm like, I'm trying not to smile because I'm like, I knew this was going to happen, you know? And I'm giving him a hug. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, buddy. You know, I'm sorry that you, what's the lesson you learned there? And he's like, that really hurt. I'm like, are you going to do it again? He's like, nope, I'm not. And I'm like, well, I tried to warn you. You know, I'm really sorry that you experienced that, you know? And he's like, well, can we go home? And I've got like a cart, like half full of like frozen stuff. And I'm like, actually, no, buddy. Like, we're going to finish. We're almost done. And so, I've got this one son, all my other kids are climbing around. I actually put him in the cart with all the frozen stuff. And he's sitting there with like a pack of frozen peas on his finger, just like, as we're driving. And everybody's like looking around like, hey, is he okay? And I'm like, yeah, he learned something about shopping carts today. He'll be just fine. It makes me think though, what are the ways that what seeds are we sowing in our lives? Are we sowing seeds of self-discipline? Are we sowing seeds in the Spirit? Are we cooperating with what the Spirit is doing, right? Because what we do know is true is that the Holy Spirit lives in me, and Jesus promises that he who began the good work in me is faithful to complete it. That's the promise we know in Scripture, that God is moving me to be more like him, to have this abundant, radiant life. That is what Jesus is already doing in me. And that process could probably be really smooth and really quick, and I could grow and look like Jesus probably a lot faster if I would just cooperate, right? But the problem is I'm just like my son, and I keep sticking my finger into stupid things, right? What happens is God says, here's the Holy Spirit in you, and he works in your heart to make something new, to make you more like me, and here's the path. But I think the problem is we like to take this longer path. We go, okay, Lord, I'm really glad that you're moving me there, but I want to take this little detour because I want to try these foolish things first, or I want to do this for me, or I want to act sinfully or selfishly or missing opportunities. The reality is the end is still the same. The Holy Spirit can use all of those things. We have that promise in Scripture too. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God is going to make me like him regardless of the process. But there is this process that looks way more comfortable. And honestly, it's a lot faster. But we get caught up in it. And so I just think about, if we're reacting to life, maybe the question is, what seeds of self-discipline are we sowing to change that? Right? If our life is constantly reacting to all the chaos, what seeds are we doing? I think of even practical things for me. I go, the kids wake up early in the morning and like there's no bowls to, make oatmeal. One practical seed I could sow is do the dishes before I go to bed. Right? I mean, like, it's something that simple, but it's really a practical way to not react to life or busyness. If we're so busy running to all these different practices for all of our kids, what priorities do we have set up in our life? What seeds of focus and intentionality have we set up? And I think this question is the great test of this. If I asked you this question, I said, what are the biggest priorities in your life? Right? Like in your head, kind of hold on to that answer. What are the biggest priorities in your life? And now I say, hey, hand me a calendar of your life. Right? If you just scheduled out everything that you did and how you spent your time, would what I saw on the calendar and how you allocated your time line up with what you say your priorities are? I think that's a really big heart check, because I think a lot of times it doesn't, which means one of two things. Either you're living a lie, or you're really dissatisfied with your life. Right? And I think the problem is we have to ask, what seeds am I sowing in that? You know, or maybe we talked about wrestling with depression. Are you sowing seeds to heal that depression or perpetuate it? Right? When we get depressed, we want to isolate. We want to pull away. You know, maybe you're here listening online instead of being here in the service around the community that would support you. You know, what seeds am I sowing to move towards what the Holy Spirit wants to do in me instead of away, or parenting? Are we sowing seeds of training and discipline in our life? Am I modeling good behavior for my children? Or am I perpetuating a cycle? Or in my marriage, am I sowing seeds toward oneness and right relationship? Right? Or am I pulling away from my spouse? Or if I'm wrestling with doubts, am I sowing time in God's word? The Bible says you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. In Scripture, for those that have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, it's really clear that God calls us to be the light. It's very clear. We can see that all over. And so this challenge of, like we see in Galatians, to sow seeds in the Spirit, that's what's reaping that eternal life. So what is the Holy Spirit trying to accomplish in us, and how can we invest our time, invest our resources, sow seeds in that? Because we know what the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And I want those things. So desperately, I want them. But I need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, not just in this moment, immediate action now, but as I plan my day, as I operate with intentionality, and as I look at these ways that I'm impacted, examining myself and going, okay, am I cooperating with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in me? Or am I taking this long path around to what God is trying to accomplish? And as children of light, our lives should reflect the glory of God. Right? When people look at our lives, our families, our finances, our relationships, they should see something different, something radiant in us. They should see God's glory reflected in me. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 says this: "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." I love that. "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." I want freedom. I want freedom in my life. And so I want to try to sow seeds of self-discipline. I want to sow seeds where I'm investing in what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. Seeds of love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness. And so that's my invitation to all of us this morning, is what seeds are you sowing? I want to invite the worship team up, and I'm just going to kind of conclude our time here as they're coming up. I think about the things that, the choices that I make and the impact that they have. And so for me, the practical takeaway, as I've been wrestling with this passage, and I've shared with you some of the wrestles, honestly, some of the things that Nicole and I are working on, is something as simple as, like, all right, we're going to try to really work on our bedtime. You know, that's a discipline that I don't really have down. But I know the impact that it has on my family. And something as simple as that has this impact in what God is doing in my life. And so the question is, what seeds are you sowing? And what's the impact of that? We're going to continue with the time of worship and offering. And the way that we take offering is there's a box in the back, and you can also give online through our app. And before I pray for that, I just wanted to share something that's been really impactful for me. This last week, I was reflecting on just the amazing generosity of the people in this church. You may not know, but I have this ridiculous list of people that have served and volunteered. Did you know that next door, Zach Kobayashi and Ben and Nathan Michael, they're the ones that prepare the donuts almost every week? Young students, they're high schoolers. And that's something they volunteered to do, to come and set up. Maddie helps decorate with that. You may know Steve and Robin Carlson volunteer so much time. Steve has been pouring hours and hours and hours. He does the bookkeeping for the church. Robin is constantly here working, preparing with the children. Debbie Page has sacrificed countless hours preparing, and because of that investment, my three-year-old accepted Christ this year. What an amazing story of generosity. Robin Paleo has been here cleaning out and has done all kinds of things. If there's any ministry going on, Robin is probably involved in it. Stephanie Story has been here making the espresso stand. She's been cleaning it, coming on and training on weekends. Chuck Colson, you blow my mind. Chuck is here almost every day of the week. I'm not kidding you. Every morning he comes down here and he's out here pulling weeds, fighting with all of this stuff because he wants to serve his Lord. What an incredible generosity. And I'm floored by that. Did you know that our pavement out there, parking lot, was striped? Yeah, Vanessa and her husband Keith did that. They volunteered to do that. Well, Vanessa will blow your mind as well. She's here most days of the week, cleaning random things and helping out in the office. She's constantly here doing something. Thank you, Vanessa, for your generosity. And when she's not here, I went over to Acres and she was there. It just blows me away. Val Carrier for years has helped take care of the grounds here. And it goes on and on. Russ is working on our website. The other day, he's just hanging out here cleaning up, picking up sound gear, and constantly giving of time and resources. Luke and Ariella are here almost every week in worship. There's so many people that are so generous. We are a generous people and a generous church. And I just want to say thank you. I am blown away, and I'm so encouraged by your generosity. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of that blessing. And I love that we serve a generous God that frees us to be a generous people. And the last thing I want to just say thank you for, not that you need it from me, but right now we have over 20 students, high school students at summer camp. Some of them could not have gone without your generous gift. Thank you. Thank you for participating in that. Thank you for investing in the hearts and lives of the young people in the next generation. Let's pray. Jesus, you are so good. Thank you for moving in our hearts. Thank you, God, for helping us to sow seeds of service and generosity. Jesus, would you move in us? Would you help us to continue to be a generous people as we move towards becoming more like you? God, we thank you that we cannot outgive you. Jesus, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your service on the cross for us. We praise you and we worship you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.